Up next on AM 1100 The Flag, it's The Career Clinic with Maureen Anderson. The show is brought to you by Express Employment Professionals of Fargo. If you're looking to hire not just good but great employees, give Express Employment Professionals a call. Also, The Career Clinic is a perfect place to advertise if you want to reach job hunters, career changers, and employers. To learn more, call The Flag at 701-356-1156 or visit am1100.tv.
Do you love your job? Really love it? If you don't, welcome to The Career Clinic. During this program, you're going to be informed, you're going to be inspired, and you're going to have fun while it happens. Listen for the opportunity to call in with questions or check in by email. Now, here's your host for The Career Clinic, Maureen Anderson.
Someone wrote to my guest today, the pilot Tom Bunn, and said he or she was okay with takeoffs and landings, but turbulence was terrifying. Captain Tom wrote back and said turbulence is a problem for people because they think turbulence is a problem for the airplane, when actually the airplane couldn't be happier than when in turbulence. And that's the kind of remark that made me so happy to book Tom Bunn for the show today. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Maureen.
How are you doing?
Good, but it's very hot in the Northeast.
Is it really? Where in the Northeast are you, Tom?
I'm in Connecticut.
Okay. Well, it's not too cool in the Midwest either. I think it's
That's what I heard. It's a
4th of July heat wave. We are talking about being afraid to fly on the Career Clinic today, but we're also going to talk about careers as a pilot. So if you have questions about either one of those things, you can give us a call toll-free at 888-598-8464. You can also send email to the Career Clinic Talk Show at gmail.com. And as always, I want to thank my husband and producer, Daryl Anderson, for being with me today and piping in as well. So, Tom, let's start with what we opened with, which is why the airplane is happy in turbulence.
Well, it really doesn't cause the plane any problem. I remember particularly a flight I had as a co-pilot. I was flying from New York to Tokyo, a 14-hour flight, and I was flying with a guy who came to work at Pan Am at that time, some years before I did, so he was senior to me. And he said, "Hey, you're doing these fear of flying courses." I said, "Yeah." He says, "Well, what are people afraid of anyway?" Like, he couldn't understand why anybody would have a problem. And I said, "Turbulence." And he looked at me like I was totally insane, because he could not understand why anybody would be concerned about turbulence at all. Because from a pilot's point of view, there's what do you mean there's a problem? There is no problem. How do we explain away a problem where there's not one? And so then I said, yes, turbulence. He said, "I don't understand that, but I can fix it." I said, "Okay, tell me, what are you talking about?" He says, "When I came to work at Pan Am back in the 50s, I was, of course, the most junior pilot at the airline, and I got whatever flying was left over, which was flying cargo in the middle of the night through Central America." And he said these were propeller-driven airplanes, and they didn't even bother to give them radar because there was no passengers. So he said, "Central America has the worst thunderstorms in the entire world." And what we did is we just put on our seatbelt and shoulder harness. Of course, the cargo was tied down anyway. So we tied ourselves down, put it on autopilot, and drove straight ahead. If we hit a storm, we hit one. If we didn't, we didn't. And he said initially he wasn't quite sure of what the plane was going to do, but he looked at the other pilots who were, you know, seasoned, and they looked bored by the whole situation. And he said he never got to the point he liked it, but he finally realized the plane will handle anything.
The plane doesn't care.
No, not a bit.
I think one reason turbulence scares people, it reminds them that they are flying. If it's a smooth flight, you can just start reading your magazine and forget that you're not on a bus. But I think when turbulence hits, it's a reminder that you're in this big steel cage up in the air and you are at the mercy of a lot of things out of your control.
You've exactly hit the nail on the head. You see, when a person has a real secure orientation to the world in general, it's kind of like water rolling off a duck's back. When things aren't just the way that they should be, so what? They'll get better. But a person who's more insecure wants to control things. And they can't necessarily deal with feelings inside themselves when things go wrong. And that, I think, is probably key. How much inner ability do you have to be the duck with the water, just the emotions just rolling off? And so if you don't, then you have to control things to make sure that things don't upset you. But then you find out, well, I can't control everything. And so you say, well, then I need to not be in situations I can't control. So there's a lot of avoidance. But if you can't avoid the flight physically, then you want to avoid the flight. As you said, psychologically, you want to get on the plane and keep your mind off of it. And there's at least two places during the flight you can't do that. Takeoff, but takeoff's brief, and then it's out of the way. But turbulence might be for hours. And exactly the thing that you talked about, Maureen, it's that when you can't get your mind off the fact that you're at a place where you don't want to be, where you don't think it's safe to be, turbulence then puts you back in touch with that thought that you're trying to avoid, and it throws you into trying to deal with emotions that you never really learned how to deal with internally.
I'll tell you the other reason I think so many people are afraid to fly, and that is they share my feeling that this does not make sense, that a plane can fly. I don't know how many hours of physics I would have to take before it would seem at all logical that the planes can fly. It just doesn't seem right. And I've heard other people tell me that, too.
Well, it won't really help. I mean, what we're really talking about is the fact that we've got two sides of the brain, and the left side of the brain can do what's called sequential logic, where you could go to school and you could learn, okay, here's what could go wrong, here's what we do to make sure it doesn't, here's why the wing works, Bernoulli's theorem, the wing is flat on the bottom and curved on the top, and differential pressures and speeds and all that causes lift. And the right brain says, what the heck are you talking about? Can't you see? There's nothing holding that plane up. It's going to fall. Now, the problem is, which side of the brain deals with emotions? The right side. And the right side is visual. It sees nothing holding the plane up. And so Bernoulli is irrelevant to the right side of the brain. So this is why we have a problem. There are a lot of courses done by pilots who believe if you just understand how safe pilot flying is, you'll be okay. Well, from a pilot's point of view, sure. But from a person's point of view who is also dealing with emotion, that kind of thing doesn't help. These feelings are generated on the right side of the brain completely automatically, and you can't, by knowledge, change those feelings.
Are you saying that if we could see the force of the air underneath the plane supporting it and how much more forceful and heavy that is compared to the air going above it, I'm not doing this right already, would that help?
Yeah. And that's one of the things that I offer people in the program I do, and we call it the Jell-O exercise. Now, I want to make a disclaimer to begin with. This is not going to be totally technically right, but it's as close as we can get to technically right to explain to the right brain, which is visual, what the left brain could understand if it understood Bernoulli's theorem. Okay, now if you walk across a room at 4 or 5 miles an hour, air doesn't slow you down. If you get on a bike, though, 20 miles an hour, unless you're really a good biker, it's hard to go much faster because air is building up on your body as you try to go through it. Well, 50 miles an hour, you get in a car, you put your hand out the window and push forward against the air, it takes about the same physical effort to push against 50 mile an hour airflow as it would to put your hand down into a swimming pool and push forward. So air at 50 miles an hour is pretty much as substantial as water, standing still, of course. And let's go a little faster. You get up to the speed where maybe 90 miles an hour, it might be more like molasses, but if you get up to takeoff speed for the airplane, you're talking about Jell-O. Now, this is different. Jell-O can hold things. If you went to a diner, because they always have everything, and ordered a hunk of Jell-O, it would probably come out on a plate and with some fruit in it, mandarin oranges, grapes, something like that. And you could pick up the plate. If you move your plate left to right, the Jell-O is going to move left and right. If you jiggle the plate up and down, the Jell-O will jiggle up and down. But there's nothing you can do to make that fruit plunge. Now, let's get rid of the fruit and say that you put a little model airplane in there. Same thing. You can shake the Jell-O. The airplane will shake, but it will not fall. Now, if you have some shish kebab skewers, come in from behind the plane, put the tips against the rear of the engines, the little model airplane. Now, you could use some force and push the plane so it cuts forward through the Jell-O. And if you had someone walk in when you were doing this, he says, what the heck are you doing? He says, hey, come on, help me out here. Put your hand on top of the Jell-O. Now, look out the window. You see the leaves on the tree out there, how it's making the leaves move. The air is making the leaves move. Now, move your hand just like that leaf is doing. That way, you'll put the effect of turbulence that's natural in the air into my Jell-O. And then when you make your plane cut forward, when it gets under that person's hand, it's going to be just the same as what happens in flight. It's going to move a little because the Jell-O itself is moving. It's held by the air, but the air is moving a bit, so it makes it jiggle, but it won't let go. It won't let it fall.
I am already less afraid to fly as a result of talking with Captain Tom Bunn today on the Career Clinic. And before too long, I hope we get into more of his career as a pilot. But regardless, I'd like to have you join us on the show if you want to discuss your fear of flying. That toll-free number is 888-598-8464. And you can send email to the Career Clinic Talk Show at gmail.com. You are listening to the Career Clinic.
You've heard the voice of Joan Baker at the opening and the close of each edition of the Career Clinic Talk Show. Joan's a talented voiceover artist and actress, and we consider it a privilege to work with her. It's also a pleasure to help Joan promote her book, Secrets of Voiceover Success. The book is everything you would need to know to break into the voiceover business. Proceeds from the sale of each book are donated to the Alzheimer's Association. Available now at secretsofvo.com.
This summer, I will not build the Great Wall of China around my patio.
I will just make my lawn greener.
I will go to Ace and get it done.
And then I will wear my Uncle Sam outfit to the neighborhood block party.
Get in, get help, and get on with your life. And this July 4th weekend, get a full price mail-in rebate on 9 select products, $1 to $4 each. This weekend only at Ace, the helpful place. Mail-in rebates for purchases made July 2nd through 5th at participating Ace stores. Rebate limits vary. See store for details.
When you use the Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express, the rewards points can keep on multiplying. Buy 3 with triple points on airfare. Buy 2 with double points on gas and groceries. And a single point for pretty much every other dollar you spend on the card. Then, start choosing from over a million rewards to redeem all those points. Apply today and the annual fee for the first year is on us. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit AXPGold.com. The annual fee for the card is $175. See terms, conditions, and restrictions at AXPGold.com.
Today, I thought it'd be nice to have a bit of music while we talk about Geico's great savings. So I made a little mixtape for you, if you don't mind. For over 70 years, Geico has been saving millions of people money on their car insurance. We're talking savings of 15% or more. So just sit back and relax knowing that Geico's... Oh, I forgot that was on there.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
AutoZone. It pays when you do it yourself with AutoZone.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
You can save even more with AutoZone Rewards. Sign up for a free membership and get special deals and offers, including rewards dollars you can use for purchases at AutoZone. See store for details. We know you take care of your car. Now, let us take care of you. Get to AutoZone today.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
This recession thing is getting to be a real pain. Lots of folks are out of work as a result, or worried they could be out of work at any moment. Many college and high school grads are having a harder time finding a job. Some people hoping to retire had their nest egg cracked and now have to work longer. Let us help you navigate these troubled waters with the Career Clinic. We're on the radio and online at thecareerclinic.com.
The only time I'm not afraid to fly is when, get this, my sweethearts are with me. It's an awful thing to admit and a silly thing to feel, but if something bad happens, I figure we're all going down and I'm not going to miss anything. I am so ashamed. My guest today in the Career Clinic is Captain Tom Bunn, who has graciously agreed to talk not only about his career as a pilot, but talk you through your fear of flying. Tom, have you ever heard that?
Maureen, you know, you've really got this thing nailed, because what happens is we get our emotional strength from other people. And but there's two ways. There's one is the person's with us. But if we have a relationship that we can put inside our mind, build a replica of it, a relationship that the person is empathic with us and attuned to us enough that, you know, we feel solid about things. It's that internalization, it's that built-in replica that we carry with us when even when we're not with a person that gives us portable emotional strength. And what we do in the program is we, in order to increase a person's emotional strength, we ask them to recall a moment with another person when there was very powerful attunement, when the person really cared about your feelings. Now, obviously, when another person cares about your feelings, they aren't going to hurt you. It would hurt them. So there's a part of the brain that recognizes that as emotionally safe. So, well, okay, let's get technical. It's called the amygdala. The amygdala is the part of the brain that releases stress hormones. And what we want to do is retrain the amygdala to not react to the things that happened during the flight. And to do that, we go back to what you're saying when you're on the plane with someone who's someone you love. The amygdala, if we go to a moment when you're with a person who's really attuned to you and vividly remember that, the amygdala now says, okay, got that. That's really safe stuff. And then you want to present a picture of an airplane situation to it at the same time. So the amygdala gets the message that the airplane also needs to be regarded as safe. Now, what we do is we take not just one airplane scene, but everything that's going to happen on a plane, because anything that happens on the plane, or even you think that could happen on the plane, is potential for triggering the amygdala to release the stress hormones that drive you up the wall. So we have to take each one of those things and link it to that moment with your sweetheart in your mind, so that then when you get on the plane, it's actually even better than having them with you, because if they're with you and you hear let's say you and I were flying together and you hear a noise and you say, "Tom, what's that?" Before you could even get the words out, you already have a shot of stress hormones to deal with. Then I could say, "Don't worry about it, such and such." It still would take you a couple of minutes to really calm down. Now, if you knew what that was, you still would get the shot of stress hormones before you could even tell yourself what the problem is. But if we take that noise or that thought and we link it in preparation before the flight, maybe practice once a day for a week or so, if we link that thing to the face of the person who cares about you repeatedly in this exercise, when you get on the plane, you don't even get the shot of stress hormones. The amygdala says, "Oh yeah, that's nothing I need to worry about. It's connected with the person I love."
One thing I find fascinating about this exchange time is that I debated whether to admit what I admitted at the opening of the segment. I was the most afraid to say that, but Daryl laughed out loud, which doesn't always happen during the show. It's like, whatever I'm most afraid to admit, that's what's going to strike a chord with people. So you should almost follow your fear where it takes you sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Because chances are you've really hit on something.
Yeah. Now, if you want to be very practical about this, if you can think of a moment with you and Daryl together, maybe if you go back when you first met and you were dating, a moment where he looks at you and he looks at you like you're the best thing he's ever seen in his whole life. That's the moment.
Now who's laughing?
That's the moment. And so picture his face and then just pretend that as this is happening, he reaches into his pocket, he pulls out a photograph, and he puts it right by his cheek. It's a picture of an airplane just about to land. Oh. And you can't help but see his face and the airplane about to land at the same time.
In other words, What you're saying is you can change the triggers. I think of someone who is annoyed by a train whistle all the time. They live next to the train tracks, and then they go on a train trip, and it's the best time they've ever had. And now, 20 times a day, that train whistle calls up a sweet memory for them. So you can retrain the brain to think calm thoughts about an airplane.
You can retrain the mind to not react. You can even go a little step farther. There are certain moments between people that produce an anti-stress hormone called oxytocin. And when I first started trying to develop something would work, I was working with two clients at the same time. One was a woman who was quite an equestrian. So I figured, okay, let's put the picture of the airplane just before she takes her horse across a jump. So she'll gallop up to the jump, see the picture briefly, and then she has to think about going off across the jump. I figured that would be a good way to get her thoughts shifted away from flying to the horse. And if we did this with a number of flying thoughts, this thought redirection would work. She got terrible results. Meanwhile, I had this other client who said, I'm going to link flying to nursing my newborn child. And I thought, this isn't going to work. She's going to get on the plane and think every time, I'm never going to see my child again. She got perfect results. And I thought, what's going on? It's oxytocin. Oxytocin is produced when you feel really in tune with another person. But there's something about our genetics that causes, during nursing a child, huge amount of oxytocin to be produced. And so what it turns out is the very best moment to use, even better than Daryl, would be a moment nursing a newborn child. Because this oxytocin totally intoxicates the amygdala. It just shuts down.
Well, no guy's ever going to compete with that.
It's not going to work.
All right. Tom Bunn, Captain Tom Bunn, has done something in the Air Force that not everybody gets a chance to do, but I don't even want to try to phrase the question, and we don't have time in this segment to do that, but I'll let Daryl open the next segment with that question for you, Tom. We want to get a little bit more into your career as a pilot. Captain Tom Bunn is my guest today on the Career Clinic, and he started a company called SOAR. We'll also talk to him about what that acronym stands for, but he's not only been a pilot, he walks people through their fear of flying and keeps them from having that fear. So if you go to fearofflying.com, you can check out his work and also see some pretty cool airplane pictures from his career. Please give us a call toll-free, 888-598-8464. If you want to join the show, you are listening to The Career Clinic.
You've been thinking about buying a gun, but you don't know if it's a good idea. Well, I can help. I'm Tom Gresham with Gun Talk. Join me Sundays from 1 to 4 p.m. here on AM 1100, The Flag.
Hey, let's set sail this summer. You can join the Hannon family for an Alaskan cruise. Hi, everybody. I am Scott Hannon, chairman of the Common Sense Club. And you know, we have the Common Sense Travel Club, where we travel together as good conservatives, as faithful members of the Common Sense Club, and we're headed to Alaska later this summer. July 30th, we'll leave for Seattle. Then the 31st of July through the 7th of August, listen to this lineup. Round trip from Seattle, Ketchikan, Juneau, the famous Hubbard Glacier, Sitka, Victoria, British Columbia, then back to Seattle. Set your adventurous spirit free on an Alaskan Explorer cruise vacation aboard that famous Holland America Line MS Rotterdam. It's going to be a blast. Details are online right now at scotthannon.com, scotthannon.com, or call Todd Ganji at Travel Incorporated, toll-free at 800-225-8383. That's 800-225-8383 in downtown Moorhead, local number 236-8383. Join me, my wife Marie, and our entire family on an Alaskan cruise. July 30th, we leave for Seattle. Details at scotthannon.com.
Talk Radio 1100.
Here's a look at your weather from staff meteorologist Tom Szymanski. Today will be partly sunny with a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Some thunderstorms may be severe late in the afternoon. Highs 90 to 95, breezy with south winds 15 to 25 miles an hour. Heat index reading for today will be 97 to 102 degrees, so it will be a hot one. Tonight, mostly cloudy, showers and thunderstorms likely in the evening. Then a chance of showers and thunderstorms after midnight. Some thunderstorms may be severe. On Independence Day, July 4th, partly sunny, highs 80 to 85, northwest winds 10 to 15 miles an hour.
Right now in Fargo Moorhead, we have a temperature of 88 degrees under sunny skies. Feels like 92 degrees out there. Winds out of the south-southwest at 20, gusting to 30.
Talk radio, the flag, AM 1100.
My worst day ever? I'm waiting in this crazy line at the DMV. So, I'm checking the web. Zero responses to my new resume. My 98% compatibility match now just wants to be friends. And hackers have taken over my Facebook account. I just thought, has the whole world turned against me?
It's not the whole world that's turned against you. It's the internet. Private, inaccurate, or unflattering information posted about you online can hurt your reputation, your career, and even your relationships. But now, help is available. It's called Reputation Defender. Reputation Defender controls your privacy online and manages how you look when someone Googles you. Reputation Defender continuously monitors everything about you on the web, including 40 social networks. It also removes your personal information from websites that collect and sell it, protecting your privacy. Go to MyReputation.com or call us at 877-720-6497. 877-720-6497. Use promo code CLEAN for a special discount on our revolutionary service.
If we could just lighten up a little bit, maybe we could get along better in the workplace. In fact, Leanne Jashaway Bryant believes that laughter is indeed the best medicine for almost any problem. Jashaway Bryant calls herself the accidental comic, and she makes a living as a stress management and humor expert, comedy writer, stand-up comic, and comedy instructor and coach. Jashaway Bryant uses plenty of humor when she works in front of groups of managers and employees. Do you have a domineering boss? Jashaway Bryant has a tongue-in-cheek solution.
I tell the story about Maddie Lou, who is one of my dachshunds. I have three now. And she's the first of the five that I've had who's actually admitted that I am the alpha dog of the household. Because the others know way better than that. But the way she shows me that is that when I come home, she rolls over on her back in a submissive posture and makes like a fountain in the middle of the carpet. And you know the typical response is, I can't believe she's still doing that. I have to go get a towel and clean it up, and then I'm going to get the steam mop out and blah, blah, blah. Does that stop the problem? Does it clean up the mess? Does it make me feel better? Why on earth would an intelligent person with 16 years of formal education choose to think in a way that just adds psychological stress to the situation that's already there? So I just simply, by rote, say to myself, you know, in my life there have been a lot of people who thought they were dominant to me. Wouldn't it have been great if I could have gone into their office? Makes the whole thing much better.
Learn more about Leanne Jashaway Bryant at accidentalcomic.com. This is the Career Clinic. Clinic. I am Daryl Anderson, who was referred to, I believe, earlier in the program by Maureen Anderson as the co-host and or producer and or spouse or something like that. At any rate, I have the privilege of welcoming you back to this segment and also re-welcoming our guest today, Tom Bunn, who is a pilot and also helps train people to not be afraid to fly. And Tom, I guess this next segment, we want to spend a little bit of time and go back over your career as a pilot. I understand you started out in the Air Force. Is that right?
Yeah, went in the Air Force into, aviation cadets, was in the Air Force for 7 years, and then went with Pan Am in 1965, there for about 20 years until Pan Am, you could see the handwriting on the wall, and some of us had the opportunity to switch over to United Airlines, so flew with United for 10 years.
Okay, and while in the Air Force, your resume indicates that you were the first pilot to fly a supersonic jet in the Air Force.
No, not that. But I flew the first supersonic series-produced airplane. The Air Force had the F-100 built. That was the first Air Force supersonic airplane that was non-experimental, and I got to fly that plane.
Okay.
Well, then I need to apologize to Daryl because I set him up wrong. We were talking about this.
I'm going to have a talk with my sources later on this
question during the break. And I thought, oh, you just better ask because I don't understand the terminology. But it turns out the lead-in I gave him was wrong. But it was called the F-100.
Yes, yes. I flew the F-100 and the F-105, and it comes to mind also because you're in the Dakotas that some of you may remember Leo Thorsness, who ran against Tom Daschle. He was a squadron mate of mine in the Air Force.
Oh, very small world. Did you always want to be a pilot?
Yeah. I'm sure it had to do with the fact that growing up in a small town in North Carolina during World War II, when the heroes came back to town, the ones that got the most attention were the pilots. So
I'm sure.
I think that had something to do with it.
Were you ever afraid for your life in the war? I mean, did you ever feel like, okay, this is it?
Well, if you're flying fighters,
it's constant.
Some people say the definition of an optimist is a fighter pilot who doesn't smoke. it is a really dangerous job. When I finished training in the F-100 at Nellis Air Force Base in Las Vegas, there were 13 of us in my training group. 18 months later, 9 of us were still alive, and that was just peacetime. The airplane, being the first supersonic airplane that the Air Force built, they really didn't know how to do it, and so it wasn't a very good airplane. It was really tricky, and so it was the things that people are afraid airliners do, you know, that blow up or go out of control. This one actually did that, unlike the planes we have now, which are really sophisticated and really safe. The fighters we had then are not as safe as the ones we have now, but it was never a safe job. But sure, every time you go up, you realize that this is potentially the last time you're going to fly.
Did flying as a commercial pilot then seem boring?
Yeah, absolutely.
It did.
I missed my parachute, but I realized after a while that I was much safer without a parachute in an airliner by far than with a parachute in a fighter. But it's a funny thing that just the fact that you don't have your backup, even like, for example, cars. People say, well, if I'm in a car, you know, most of the time with an accident I can walk away. Right. But you're about 100 times more likely to have a car accident than an airplane accident. And if you do the numbers, you'll find that you're far more likely to perish in an automobile accident, even though many of them you can walk away from, than in an airplane accident.
Do you ever have people who are so terrified of flying you recommend medication?
Well, generally not, and it's complicated why. But if I ask you to look at something in front of you and ask you, how do you know that you're not imagining that? You probably couldn't explain why, but you just know. You just know when you imagine something that it's imagination, and when it's real, that it's real. But that ability gets weaker when you have something to drink, when you take meds, or when anxiety builds up. And that's one of the problems we have with fear of flying, is that when anxiety builds up, people lose the ability to recognize that what's in their mind is imagination. They begin to think that the thought the airplane's going to fall out of the sky is really happening, because they lose the ability to differentiate between imagination and reality. Now, just to kind of explain this a little bit more, you know, we talk about schizophrenia, people who really can't tell the difference between reality and what they imagine. This is like a very, very temporary schizophrenia. When the hormones build up and you lose the ability to tell the difference between imagination and reality, it's like temporary schizophrenia, but it can also be caused by medication or alcohol. So that's why people need to have their mind as sharp as possible when flying, so that they can keep track of the fact that what they have in mind is not real.
We are talking with Captain Tom Bunn today about his career as a pilot and about your fear of flying. And we would love for you to join the show. Why don't you email us at thecareerclinictalkshow@gmail.com. Coming up, so you're late reboarding your aircraft after a stop at the terminal after an aborted takeoff. you see that plane taxiing down the runway and you're screwed, right? Well, I wasn't, and I'll explain when we return with the Career Clinic.
You've heard the voice of Joan Baker at the opening and the close of each edition of the Career Clinic talk show. Joan's a talented voiceover artist and actress, and we consider it a privilege to work with her. It's also a pleasure to help Joan promote her book, Secrets of Voiceover Success. The book is everything you would need to know to break into the voiceover business. Proceeds from the sale of each book are donated to the Alzheimer's Association. Available now at secretsofvo.com.
This summer, I will not build the Great Wall of China around my patio.
I will just make my lawn greener.
I will go to Ace and get it done.
And then I will wear my Uncle Sam outfit to the neighborhood block party.
Get in, get help, and get on with your life. And this July 4th weekend, get a full price mail-in rebate on 9 select products, $1 to $4 each. This weekend only at Ace, the helpful place. Mail-in rebates for purchases made July 2nd through 5th at participating Ace stores. Rebate limits vary. See store for details.
The world is full of perfect pairs. Peanut butter and jelly, yin and yang, jeans and a t-shirt, and now home and auto from Farmers Insurance. Buy them together and receive a great discount on both policies. It's as sweet as a chocolate vanilla swirl. Ask a Farmers agent about our perfect pair discounts. Two of dozens of discounts that could save you hundreds of dollars. Get world-class savings and the service to match. Find your agent today at Farmers.com. Discounts apply to selected coverages, perils, and policy types only and may vary by eligibility.
Mark, technician from SafeLight and Auto Glass Center. Now together to serve you better.
The other day, my customer was washing his car. The cold water hit the chip on his hot windshield and crack. When a chip's small, we can usually repair it in just a half hour with our state-of-the-art resin. And our repair is so reliable, we guarantee it for life. Plus, with most insurance plans, there's no cost to you.
Call SafeLight and Auto Glass Center at 1-800-800-2727.
SafeLight Repair, SafeLight Replace.
Everybody knows your oil protects your engine. But what's protecting your oil? Fram. Because a Fram Extra Guard oil filter delivers three times the engine protection versus the average of leading economy filters, trapping 95% of dirt and harmful particles. Next oil change? Don't mess around. Go with Fram. The dirt stops here. Based on ISO 454812 testing, visit Fram.com for details.
Do you have a passion for the work you're doing? If so, then you're probably having more fun during the week than you do on weekends. That's exactly the kind of thing we're trying to encourage and inspire here on the Career Clinic radio show. And it doesn't stop there. The mission of the Career Clinic continues on our website and in Maureen's book, The Career Clinic, 8 Simple Rules for Finding Work You Love. Find out more at thecareerclinic.com.
I think I would be hard-pressed to come up with a career that sounds more glamorous or has more mystique associated with it than that of a pilot. Hi, I'm Maureen Anderson, your host for the Career Clinic, and we're talking with a pilot today. His name is Captain Tom Bunn, and I have a pilot in my past. I don't know his name. I can't see his face, but I still think of him fondly. I used to do a lot of flying in a former career life, and there was one flight I was on that had an aborted takeoff, and I don't remember why, but we were allowed back in the terminal with explicit instructions to return in X number of minutes. And you can probably guess where this is going. I returned in X plus 1 or 2 minutes and was horrified to look out the window of the terminal and see my plane taxiing down the runway. In a burst of early 20-something impetuousness, I had even left my purse on that plane. Do you believe it? But the plane came back for me. I couldn't believe that. I boarded. The flight attendant asked me if I knew how much it costs to keep these planes on the ground. And I said, well, I'll give you $1,000 if you give me a paper bag to wear over my head as I walk back to my seat. And she kind of, after I did get seated, she kind of put her hand on me and said, well, the pilot remembered you. I had tripped when I had originally boarded the plane right in front of him, and, you know, suitcases were flying and I made quite a scene. So apparently that was enough to get him to bring the plane back for me. I still don't get that, but maybe that was part of being 22. But The reason I bring this story up, Tom, is I'm guessing that in all your years of commercial aviation, you have to have some good stories.
Yeah.
I hope better than that one. That one feels like it fell a little flat.
There's a lot of stories. I'm not sure if I could tell them on a family station. You know, we did a lot of at Pan Am. It was international flying. Just to give you kind of a rough idea, we had so many trips overseas. Pan Am kind of, I guess, pretty much pioneered aviation in Africa. And Charles Lindbergh did a lot of flights around different places, but and also in the Pacific, that opened up air routes that Pan Am did. And there was a field in Africa, Roberts Field in Liberia, that Pan Am built when I first had a flight to Africa, and the plane landed at Roberts Field. I saw the flight attendants just walking off the plane. I said, where's the terminal? And they just pointed to a little building over there. And I said, where's the crew bus? There's no crew bus. You just walk to the hotel. And the thing I didn't know was that we had a three-day layover there. And what happened is the flight attendants, instead of giving the passengers the caviar and the champagne, they stowed it in their bags. And so there was a three-day party that took place every trip through Roberts Field, supplied by stuff that the passengers didn't get, and even steaks. They took steaks off, so it was an interesting stop. We also then had a flight that went on to the east coast of Africa, to Dar es Salaam, and there was a flight attendant who had a relationship with some guy on the ground in Nairobi. So when we stopped in Nairobi, she got off. We kept her name in the logbook as if she was still on the plane, and flew on to the next place, the east coast of Africa. And the next day we picked her up, came back. But you see, in Africa, there was no communication to speak of except shortwave radio to the rest of the world. There was no supervision, and the pilots were God. So the pilots could do whatever they wanted to. The captains were it. So that, you know, it's kind of like what, if you think about what Tea Partiers want in government, this is the way it was at Pan Am. The captain was totally in charge, and that was it. So if he wanted the flight attendant to get off in Nairobi and pick her up the next day, that's what happened.
Are commercial airline pilots ever afraid to fly?
It's awfully boring. I don't think that's something that develops among airline pilots. The planes are so remarkably reliable, and I think if I think about my own flying, there were times in weather, landing on a runway with the windshield wipers going full speed, and you kind of got a stroboscopic view of the runway for a tenth of a second as the windshield wipers passed, and you still had to land the plane by hand. That was kind of tricky, but you pretty much had to depend on the fact that you'd done it so many thousands of times and let yourself just land it by gut instinct.
Well, in other words, if there's a big plane crash in the news, does that change how you feel about your work, even for a week or so?
No. Always a question about, first of all, with all the safety equipment on the planes now, it's like, how could it have possibly happened?
Oh, okay.
And then when you start digging into it, you usually find out that something really unusual happened, or either the pilot did something that was pretty unexplainable, unless you start to think, how long had that person been on duty? And what's happened is that the airlines have pushed pilots so hard, and talking about the glamour of the job, it used to be pretty glamorous. Now, the airlines, because of competition, push the pilots so hard that in many cases they get to the point that they've been on duty for so many hours, they are not thinking as well as they should.
So there is, I mean, it's not a job where you can literally put it on autopilot. There, you still have to pay attention, and there are things you have to do to ensure a safe flight, period.
Well, yeah, you can put it on autopilot, and you can pretty much take a five-hour break going across the U.S. from coast to coast and just make your radio check-ins every few minutes. But the plane will completely navigate itself on autopilot once you set it up. But I wanted to also mention that, that landing in the really crummy weather, now with the airplanes, you can have the airplane land the plane in really crummy weather. So that's taken out the last thing that used to bother me about flying.
Okay. Well, we are talking with Captain Tom Bunn today on the Career Clinic. We are talking about your fear of flying and his career as a pilot. There's still time to join us on the show if you call toll-free 888-598-8464 or send email to the Career Clinic Talk Show at gmail.com. You are listening to the Career Clinic.
It's the Great American Summer, and there are a lot of big prizes to be won, like a new custom chopper from New Vision Cycles and Sailor Jerry Spiced Rum. Western Products is offering a Homecrest patio set valued at $2,100. Chase on the Lake has a two-night stay for four ladies with $200 in food. Classic Jewelers has a diamond tennis bracelet valued at $3,500. And for the big party at O'Kelly's July 20th, we thank Cloverdale, Country Hearth Breads, and Barrel of Fun. The Great American Summer continues on this station.
Hi, it's Scott Hannon here with a few questions. Do you know your banker? Does your banker know you? Do you have confidence in your bank? Let me take a moment to tell you about the great people at Vision Bank. That's my bank. And Vision Bank stands shoulder to shoulder with me every day. It's what they do for the small business community of this region. See, at Vision Bank, they understand small business because they are small business. They have the capital strength, the financial stability, and the strategic vision to help you tackle any challenge in these uncertain times. And they're local. They know all about why small business is so important, the backbone of our local economy, and the regular folks like Dan Carey and Bill Kuzis, Tammy Askew and Brenda Jacobson. The Vision Bank team has decades of experience getting it done, backed by local ownership and a group of shareholders well known as pillars of the community. Strength, stability, strategic vision. It's what you get from Vision Bank. Call them up at 364-2020 or stop at one of their two Fargo locations. Member FDIC.
Are you an embarrassment on the dance floor? Do you confuse state capitals, make runny scrambled eggs, and read too many celebrity gossip magazines? Do you drink milk straight from the carton, think trigonometry is a planet, and snore louder than a Kodiak bear? Well, if you answered yes to any of the above questions, you may have what it takes to adopt a teen from foster care. Because teens don't need perfection, they need you. So if you bite your nails like they're a snack food, think an MP3 is a computer virus, can't tell a right angle from an acute, constantly lose the remote, can't parallel park, confuse hip-hop with double dutch, and are afraid of spiders, dentists, and clowns, it's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. For more information on how you can adopt, call 1-888-200-4005 or go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Altag Engineers, founded in 1944 by Melvin Altag, with the vision to bring electricity to the people of the rural upper Midwest. In 2010, that vision continues to grow at Altag. Recently, they ranked number 223 out of the top 500 companies in the architecture and engineering industry in the U.S. Altag, with offices in 8 locations, Fargo, Bismarck, Grand Forks, Minneapolis, Detroit Lakes, Sioux Falls, Denver, and Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Altag, energy, water, and the built environment.
The first essay I ever got published was for a newspaper in North Central Illinois, and it was about taking a flying lesson to help me overcome my fear of flying, and it didn't do much to quell those fears. Although, Daryl, me at the controls of an airplane, that is a scary thought.
That is frightening, all right.
But I'll never forget the delicate lingo for such a powerful machine. My co-pilot would say things like, trim the nose up a little bit, which sounded like something you do more to a pumpkin than an airplane. We're talking with Captain Tom Bunn today on the Career Clinic. And, Tom, we only have a few minutes left in the program, but what things should someone consider if they want to be a pilot? Is the Air Force exam, for example, the best route, so to speak, to take?
You get the best. You definitely get the best training you can possibly get if you go into the military. You can, of course, get civilian training. It's going to cost you some money, and it'll take you a long time to get it back. The competition in the airline industry has been so severe that the job is not something that, you know, I doubt if there's, you could find very many airline pilots who would tell their kids that they should go into the job. It's not what it used to be at all.
We have a caller. Hi, Neil.
Yes, my question is, has he ever experienced birds getting into his engine? And then my next question would be, what is his thoughts of that, them pilots that missed Minneapolis Airport?
I wanted to ask him about that, but
okay,
I'm glad
there.
You did. Okay, thanks. All right, so it was a two-parter, Tom. One is about birds, and
Got it. Well, no, I never had, I mean, in 30 years, I never had a bird go into an engine. I hit a bird one time going into Caracas, Venezuela, just landing, and we saw a bird, and when we got on the ground, we looked, we felt a thump, and when we got on the ground, we looked around, and we couldn't find it. We found, finally, that there was an owl that we had run into. He was kind of jammed into a little spot on the landing gear. Didn't, of course, do any damage to the plane. The landing gear is so strong.
Okay.
But running into birds is really rare. I know, of course, you know, you're familiar with what happened with the one that landed in the Hudson, but that's the only time that I know of when we've had a plane have to land due to two engines being out. And it'll be interesting to see when the report is done if it has anything to do with the automation of the airplane, whether that did or didn't cause the engine to go out. As far as missing Minneapolis, you know, planes have gotten so automatic. As I was saying to Maureen before, that you can pretty much take a break and just do your radio calls. And I can see how if you're not paying attention, you could end up on the wrong frequency. But there's really you can't excuse that. One of the problems that pilots have to deal with is complacency, and you have to always question whether you're right or not, and you cross-check the other pilot whether the other pilot is right or not, and you want the other pilot to cross-check you, and you have to check yourself. So when you get complacent and start doing computer stuff on an airplane, no, not good.
In 30 seconds, what do you love most about your work now, helping people not be afraid to fly?
The most satisfying thing is to have developed something that really works. You know, it took a long time to do it, and now because of the brain scan technology that's been developed, we've learned enough that we can actually change how it feels when people fly.
And you can learn much more about Tom's work at fearofflying.com. Flying has such fascination for me personally. I think dreams about airports and airplanes are among the most interesting, if only because I seem to have so many of them. But I have a feeling I'll be blogging about that this week, so be sure to check out my blogs at thecareerclinic.com. And again, you can check out fearofflying.com for more about my guest today, Captain Tom Bunn. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you. I enjoyed it very much, Maureen. Daryl, thanks also.
It was great to have you with us. I
guess we're done.
Guess we're done for this hour. Thank you so much for sharing this hour of your week with us on the Career Clinic.
This broadcast is copyrighted by North Shore Productions. To learn more, please visit thecareerclinic.com.
Are you sick with stress from your job? Are you worried about getting laid off? Would you like to switch careers? If any of these feelings sound familiar, I hope you'll stick around after the news and weather for more of the show. We'll be talking with Dr. Jeffrey Hull, who wrote a book called Shift, Let Go of Fear and Get Your Life in Gear. Learn how to embrace change, not fight or fear it, by staying tuned for lots more of the Career Clinic.
It's the Great American Summer, and there are a lot of big prizes to be won, like a new custom chopper from New Vision Cycles and Sailor Jerry Spiced Rum. Nodak Stores is throwing in a GE upright freezer valued at $679 and a Weber Q300 grill valued at $329. And Nodak is offering a Cub Cadet self-propelled lawnmower valued at $380. And for the big party at O'Kelly's July 20th, we thank Cloverdale, Country Hearth Breads, and Barrel of Fun. The Great American Summer continues on this station.
Right now we have sunny skies in the valley, a temperature of 80.